talking today with Chuck Connor, the Chief Executive Officer of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives. Chuck, let's talk about one of those hot things right now that's out there that consumers have really gotten very emotional about. Congress has really gotten very skittish about GMO labeling.
Yes.
How do we solve this?
Well, Ron, I believe Congress needs to do what we've called upon them to do, and that is pass legislation that, in effect, establishes federal preemption over all state labeling laws so that Vermont or any other state can't have their own separate laws governing labeling requirements that would really sort of interfere with interstate commerce in a very, very major way. The Vermont law is you know, the law of the land in Vermont, but it's having implications in all 50 states. We need our Congress to step in here and put forth, you know, reasonable legislation that preempts Vermont and establishes the standards that other states would use then going forward.
Seems that the Senate right now, they're very reluctant to come up with anything, or at least they've really got two lines of thought that are they're having a hard time to converge.
Well, there is some reluctance, but I will tell you, on when it comes to the issue of preempting states so that we don't have the patchwork and stopping Vermont from going into law, there's broad bipartisan support for that. That issue would pass overwhelmingly in the United States Senate today. Now, there's all kinds of other issues associated with it that Senator Roberts and Senator Stabenow are trying to work through, but there's no fundamental disagreement on the need to stop Vermont and the need to keep, you know, a patchwork from going into effect. So we're going to continue to press Roberts and Stabenow to try and address those two points that they agree with, you know, that they agree on, and we believe, you know, there's a chance that they're going to come up with something that can get the requisite votes in the Senate and finally move this thing beyond, you know, the Congress so that Vermont is stopped, we don't get this patchwork, we don't get, you know, this added labeling cost, this disparaging label put on products that is going to, you know, adversely impact agriculture really for a generation.
I know that, that's a major concern, is that, bigger implication of someone. I know there are companies that have kind of are licking their chops in some ways of saying, we'd like to have that label there because we can market against it.
Against it, absolutely. I mean, the people that are pushing Vermont and pushing this label, Ron, to be absolutely clear, these are the people who want to kill GMO technology. They're not interested in consumer awareness or consumer information. They want to kill it. They've been trying, you know, for the better part of a decade or more. They've been unsuccessful. So now, as an alternative, they want to say, well, let's label it so that then once the label is on it, we can go in and start running campaigns telling the consumers, beware of this label. And that, you know, that's exactly their motivation. It's the same motivation they had two decades ago when they said, we don't want GMOs at all. And, you know, we just can't allow these people to, you know, to have their way on a proven technology that every regulatory agency in the federal government and the state government that has ever looked at these products says they are 100% safe. Can't let them do it.
Now, along those same lines, we've got a group of folks, a group of organizations that are kind of aligning themselves together that have a lot of those same attitudes regarding farm policy, farm safety net programs, crop insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That plays into this equation as well, it seems.
Well, it does. I mean, this really goes to the heart of, you know, is the Congress of the United States, you know, going to be for the farmer and for this great food and agricultural system that we have built in America, or are they going to be against it? And if they're for it, you know, then they're going to work, you know, want to work diligently, have good farm policy, you know, have good trade policy, and, you know, let those things move forward so that we can take advantage of this, you know, great and competitive industry that we've got. You know, we've lost so many of our industries. Agriculture is not one of those, thankfully. We're a growing sector. We're more efficient than ever. They ought to promote that and not try and do things to hold back American agriculture.
When you think about that, what's already being laid? What's the groundwork out there being laid right now for this next farm bill, whether it's a 2018, 2019, 2020 bill?
Well, there is groundwork being laid. I would point to the fact that the House Agriculture Committee has already announced that they're going to have six subcommittee hearings. They've had the second of those will be this week that I'll be testifying at. But the purpose of those hearings is to sort of lay the groundwork and the foundation for kind of the state of the the farm and rural economy out there. And that's an important thing, Ron, going forward, because the last farm bill was written during probably one of the most prosperous times that we've ever seen in American agriculture. Those prosperous times are gone, and we've seen a complete turnaround the other direction. The next farm bill very likely will be written in a time of need rather than a time of plenty, and these hearings are going to point to a lot of that information that, you know, to lay the groundwork for that next farm bill of don't write that bill thinking that somehow we've got record farm income because things have changed. And that's an important message.
And when you start talking about need, we're talking about the productive capacity of U.S. agriculture is so great that we do get in these times of surplus.
Yes. Yeah, there's, you know, clearly we're in that period right now. Demand has been soft at a time where we've had record yields, you know, in the grain sector back-to-back years in that way. You know, I never spend a whole lot of time focusing on that because, you know, some dry weather always kind of changes people's attitude on that pretty quickly. And so, you know, that will come at some point. We never know when, but, you know, that market kind of takes care of itself. But ultimately, you know, we do have to be about efficient production, finding markets for our agricultural goods because, you know, we do have a productive capacity that exceeds what we can sell here in the U.S. We've got to find those overseas markets. That's why TPP, TTIP, other trade agreements are important to, you know, enable us to break down barriers and ship those goods all over the country, all over the planet, really. And, you know, this is how we're going to restore that prosperity to the farmer that they had when we wrote the last farm bill.